All right, so we are holding on Tes Amud Aleph, just past the Mishnah. So the Mishnah had mentioned had gone through a list of a number of different karbonos, when all of which are various kinds of kodesh kodeshim. When Mi'ilah begins, with all of them being kodesh kodeshim, Mi'ilah begins when you makdish them. Each one you have it ends at different times. Many of them, we said that Mi'ilah still continues to apply even after they're burnt, ad shetet to the Beis Hadeshin, until the ashes are taken to the place outside Yerushalayim where they're deposited.
That's going to be the kachim.
Kachim. That the Mi'ilah goes away from the meat after Zrika, but Mi'ilah continues to apply to the Emurim, because those are supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. And even after they go on the Mizbeach, we're saying that Mi'ilah still continues to apply to them until even after they turn into ashes, because a mitzvah can still be done with those ashes, through Matadeshin. Only once they're taken out of Yerushalayim to the Beis Hadeshin, only then does Mi'ilah no longer apply to them. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Hanene me'efo tapuach shal gabe mizbeach. If a person has hana from the ashes in the tapuach on the mizbeach, so like this, there were a number of different piles of wood and a number of different fires on the mizbeach, machlokas and yomah, whether there were two or three or four on a regular day, whatever, everybody agrees there were at least two, one for the korbanos and one to take coals for the ketores. There's another opinion that there was a third one and another opinion that there was a fourth one.
The one that came from above.
The one that came from Minashamayim, the Pashtos, was the main one, the Ma'aroch HaGdoyla. That's what we say every day in Davin. Ma'aroch HaGdoyla, Kedemus, the Ma'aroch HaShniya Shokhtaris. Right, so then you have other opinions. Right, so you have another opinion that there was another one to burn the leftover Avodah Mukdarim, and maybe another one for the mitzvah of Kiyum Ha'esh, whatever. The Rambam, I believe, passed in that normally there were three. You have different opinions about that. Every morning, Rashi learns over here that every morning after Terumas Hadeshen, we're going to learn about this in Talmud, Bez Hashem, that after the Kohen did Terumas Hadeshen, after he took one shovelful of ashes off the Mizbeach and put them on the floor near the Mizbeach, after that the Kohenim, all the other Kohenim, would go up to the Mizbeach and sweep up the ashes from the Ma'aroch Gdola, and probably from the other Ma'arochas as well, and put them into the Tapuach, into the big pile of ashes on the middle of the Mizbeach.
It was in the middle of the Mizbeach.
It's called Tapuach, which means an apple, because it was shaped like an apple. Because it was big and round. Eventually, when it got very big, because there were a lot of ashes, then they would put it into a big pot and carry it outside of Yerushalayim. They were off on different sides of the Mizbeach. Yeah, we'll learn about it in the Sefer Talmud, Beis Hashem, where they were. So Rashi learns that. After Terumas Hadeshen. Then they would put the rest of the ashes into the tapuach. Tosfos over here, and by the way, you have several tosfos that are supposed to be on the Omud over here, but are missing. They're in Shittim Kubetis. Oh, Tes has a bunch of them. So Tosfos learns that actually what it was is that no, they would do the Terumas Hadeshen from the tapuach. First, they would put the ashes into the tapuach, then they would do Terumas Hadeshen from there. Anyway, so
means taking off
a handful of ashes and putting it on the floor next to the mizbeach.
Oh, that'd be on
that was
floor.
The first avodah of the day. Okay, one second. So we have two things. We say every day in davening, right? By davar shalom shalemer, tavis ayin res bonav lemer, zois teref ha'oila, v'lova shakoyin midei vad, v'michne se vad yuva shabastari, v'heirim es hadeshen ashatech ala'ish, v'somoy eitzel ha'mizbeach. That's the Terumas Hadeshen which takes place every day. Then, or Pasha, that's begodah, v'lovash, begodah b'cherim, then he puts on cheaper, bigger corner, v'hoitzi es hadeshen ha'mechut v'machna, and he takes all the ashes outside the machna. That's what it's for.
The ashes from the
tapuach, from the pile in the middle of the mizbeach.
You didn't take everything.
No, Terumas Hadeshen is only one panful. Terumas Hadeshen is only one machdas full of ashes. All the rest of it stays on the mizbeach until it gets very full, and then they clear it. Okay. So if a person has hana from those ashes that are on the tapuach. Rav Omer Ein Moilin Boy, Rav Yechon Omer Moilin Boy. So Rav will say that Me'ilah doesn't apply to them because the mitzvah has already been done with them. And Rav Yechon says that Me'ilah still applies to it. Now, the one that's in the Tapuach, we said Me'efer Tapuach. So now, here's the key thing. If we go like Rashi, that we're talking about that the after the Trumas HaDeshen is done, then the ashes are placed in the Tapuach, then it's a little easier to understand Rav's opinion, Ein Moilin Boy, because the mitzvah has already been done. Trumas HaDeshen has already been done. No further mitzvah is going to be done with those ashes that are in the Tapuach.
Everyone.
No, that's they're not taken from the Tapuach. According to Rashi, they take the ashes from the piles, from the marochas. Okay, again, we have to be clear. We have here at the top of the Mizbeach. You have the here. Here in Midos, actually, we'll have diagrams over there in the Sefer Midos and in Rambam over there and in whatever. So let's see if we can find the diagram.
The fresh piles that we used that night.
So here's a diagram of the Mishnah. Suresh Bayis Shani. So in the middle over there, that black dot in the middle, that's the Tefuah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the marochos were on various sides of the mizbeach. It doesn't show exactly where they were, but they were on different sides of the mizbeach. So according to Rashi, they took the ashes for the Trumas HaDeshen from those piles, from the marochos Dola or the marochos Shmita or whatever. And then afterwards, they swept up the rest onto the Tapuach. According to Tosfos, first they swept it into the Tapuach, then they did Trumas HaDeshen from that. So according to Tosfos, it's a little hard to understand. Then why would Rav say Ein Moilin Boy if the mitzvah hasn't been done with it yet? So there's a pirush in the back of the Gemara called Pirush Kadmon. It's an ancient pirush, an early pirush from one of the Rishonim, but we don't know who it is. So he says that the Gemara is going to be explaining over here. The reason is the lifnei Trumas HaDeshen al'acha Trumas HaDeshen. So he says that not necessarily does it literally mean that they're actually arguing on the point lifnei and la'acha Trumas HaDeshen. He says the Gemara is just trying to explain the underlying reasoning of Rav and Rabbi Yehuda. Lifnei Trumas HaDeshen kolam le'tzligi d'mayim. So if it's before Trumas HaDeshen, everybody agrees that Be'ilah still applies. Because it's before Trumas HaDeshen, the mitzvah hasn't been done yet. Ki pligi la'acha Trumas HaDeshen. The machloikas would be after Trumas HaDeshen was done. So again, according to Rashi, though, what do you mean, lifnei and la'acha Trumas HaDeshen? If it's on the Tapuach, by definition, it's la'acha Trumas HaDeshen. So that's what I'm saying. That's where the Pirush Kadmon says.
Leftover, no?
No, because what's left over goes into the Tapuach, but at that point, it's after Trumas HaDeshen. So, right.
After them, no,
then there's no other mitzvah to do except to take it outside of your shalim. So, yeah, so the Pirush Kadmon is saying that the Gemara is not saying that it's actually the actual machloek that is lifnei la'acha Trumas HaDeshen, because if it's on the Tapuach, according to that way of looking at it, it's already after Trumas HaDeshen. The Gemara is just trying to explain the svaris behind their respective opinions. Why should we say that Me'ilah would apply to the ashes in the Tapuach versus not? Okay. So the argument between them is after Trumas HaDeshen. Tosfos actually makes another interesting point, which is when we say that La'acha Trumas HaDeshen, that Rav is going to say Me'ilah doesn't apply, that would only be until the next day's Korbanos Habrot. Because once the next day's Korbanos Habrot and you have ashes there again, then you have Vayter, Trumas HaDeshen is going to be taken from them, right? Okay. So Rav Omer Ein Moilin Boy Harei Nasa Mitzvah. So he said Rav is going to say therefore Me'ilah doesn't apply. The mitzvah has already been done. Trumas HaDeshen has already been done. All that's left is just to clear it off when it gets full, and that's not considered a mitzvah to the extent that that we should say that Me'ilah would still apply. Whereas Rav Yechanan says no. Since the pasuk does say that the kohen has to put on his linen clothing, actually, Rav Akiva Eger, Yoyin Ashas, says that actually it should rather be if the next possible Fashat is God of Lavash God of Machairim, which is talking about taking the Deshen out. Whatever. The point is, Kim the Tzarech Big De Kohona. So he says, since the Pasuk is telling us you need to wear Big De Kohona, okay, God of Machairim, in the sense that you should be cheaper Big De Kohona, because as Rashi says on the Pasuk, Al Derech like you, you don't wear the same clothing when you're cooking for the king as you do when you're serving him his meal. So, because so to speak, then the Kohanim should be wearing cheaper clothing when they're taking out the garbage, taking out the ashes outside your shalim than they should when they're actually doing the avodah. But nevertheless, they still have to be Big De Kohona. Victor Shasei Koi. Therefore, Rabbi Yechanan says, obviously, therefore, it's still considered an avodah, and therefore, Me'ilah still applies to it, because the mitzvah hasn't been finished yet, until it's taken to the Beis HaDeshen. Okay. The Gemara says, tonight, let's look at our Mishnah and see which of those opinions it follows. We said, Moilin Behen Ad Shetet to the Beis HaDeshen. We said regarding the ashes of the Kodshei Kodshim, we're saying that Me'ilah still applies until they go out to the Beis HaDeshen. Kasha L'Rav. So it's a question on Rav. According to Rav, once they're on the Tapuach, then Me'ilah doesn't apply anymore. So why, so what does the Mishnah mean according to him? The answer is, Amalach Rav Ad Shetet Ruah L'Beis HaDeshen. Rav is going to answer, it doesn't mean until it actually goes to the Beis HaDeshen. It means until it's suitable to be taken to the Beis HaDeshen. Once the ashes are on the Tapuach, and in principle, at any point, they could take them to the Beis HaDeshen. Practically speaking, they're not going to bother until it's full. especially because the Gemara mentions the Talmud, it was a hiddur for the Mizbeach that the pile should be big because it shows how many korbanos are being brought. In fact, on Yom Tov, it says they wouldn't clear it at all and it could become very, very huge.
Oh, so it wasn't covered?
No, it was a pile of ashes on the Mizbeach. It was a round pile. Half apple. But the point is, in Talmud, we're going to learn that on Yom Tov, they just wouldn't clear it away. They would let it accumulate through Yom Tov so everybody can see how many korbanos are being brought.
You can look into the Azara, but that outside, you can look inside and see it, or they're able to...
We're talking about a person standing in the Azara, the Pashtas.
Again,
if we look in this diagram, you have the Ezra's Yisrael is over here, and then the Ezra's Koyanim is over here. There's a couple of steps between the Ezra's Yisrael and the Ezra's Koyanim. We'll learn about them in Midas Ben Hashem, but still, you can see the top. You could be standing over here. You could be standing over here and see the top of the Mizem. How big? I mean, in Talmud, it mentions that one time it was 300 kur. So the Gemara says over there, it's a guzma. But still, the point is, whatever, sometimes it can become very large. Anyway, the point is that Rav Yochanan is saying, Rav is saying, the fact of the matter is, at any point, you could take the ashes off of the tapuach and take them to the Beis HaDeshen. Just practically speaking, they wouldn't until it was large. But the ashes, once they're in the tapuach, they're royal the Beis HaDeshen because there's no further mitzvah you can do with them. Therefore, according to him, there's no me'ilah in them. Okay, the Gemara says, Mason, I have a contradiction to Rav. We learn in a Mishnah in Zvachim like this. It's in the Perek where it talks about the whole concept of Im Olu Yerdu and Im Olu Lo Yerdu. What things, even though they weren't maybe supposed to go on the Mizbeach in the first place, if they did go, you don't take them off. One case it mentioned over there is, for example, you have, let's say, the wool on the head of a sheep. So when you bring the head of the sheep, when a korban ola is brought, and the head and everything else is being burnt on the mizbeach, so you have wool attached to the head because they don't skin the head like they skin the rest of the body. So if that wool is attached, then you put it all on the mizbeach together. The same thing, the hooves, the same thing, the horns, several other things. But if they got detached, you're not supposed to put them up on the mizbeach. But then the Mishnah says over there, so then the Mishnah says that if they were brought up to the Mizbeach, then fine, you'll leave them there. But v'cholon shepochu ma'agabe Mizbeach, any of those things, if they jumped off the Mizbeach, so a burning piece of them fell off the Mizbeach, lo yachzir, you don't have to return it. V'chein gachelas shepochu ma'agabe Mizbeach, lo yachzir, the same thing. If a coal falls off the Mizbeach, you don't have to return it. Now, a coal, Rashi explains, we're talking about over here, we're not talking a piece of the Emurim, we're talking about a coal from the wood of the Mizbeach. Because Rashi is saying, if it was a piece of the Emurim, of course, you still have to put it back on. The mitzvah hasn't been accomplished yet until it becomes ashes. Tosfos discusses it over here and says, maybe not necessarily, maybe it could be talking about, a piece of the actual korban itself, so why wouldn't you have to put it back? Tosfos gives a few different answers. One of them, because it still can become ashes, but the one answer, the Tosfos gives a couple of answers, but one of them from Hassan Mikotzi is, we've quoted him a couple of times already, why would you have to return it? Is because it has to be used for Terumas Hadeshen, but you don't have to. There's plenty of other ashes on the Mizbeach that you could use for Terumas Hadeshen. You don't have to dafka have this piece over there become ashes to be able to use for Terumas Hadeshen. So therefore, we could argue you don't necessarily have to put it back. Okay. Anyway, the point is, so what are we saying? Because this gachelas, this coal, fell off the Mizbeach, then therefore you don't have to put it back. But implying if it actually stayed on the Mizbeach, then you would have to return it. Why? Because Me'ila still applies to it.
To return it to the fire.
The Shleimel of Yechanan Nichas, so according to Rabbi Yechanan, we can understand, because even though it's on the Mizbeach, and even though maybe it ended up in the Tapuach, Rashi says, we have to be talking about even if it's in the Tapuach, because inevitably, when you have the piles of ashes that are in the Tapuach, inevitably you have some coals in there. And the implication is, if the coal is still anywhere on the Mizbeach, then Yasir. Why? The mitzvah still has to be done, and therefore Me'ilah should still apply. So according to Rav Yechanan, we can understand. El al Rav Kasha, but according to Rav, why should it be? Rav is saying that anything that's in the Tapuach is finished, it's not subject to Me'ilah anymore. So why should he have to put it back, and why would Me'ilah still apply?
Why did somebody correct questions can be... It's not finished, but you don't finish
that way. Ah, so Tosfos actually asks over here, Why doesn't the Gemara just say that there's a difference between before and after Terumas Hadeshen? So that's what I'm saying. Here you have a couple of different answers that Tosfos gives, one of them being from the Sar Mikutzi, that you don't necessarily need to put it back for the sake of Terumas Hadeshen, because there's plenty of other ashes you could use for Terumas Hadeshen. Therefore, the only reason you would have to put it back is because the mitzvah has yet to be done. It still has to be completely burned. Therefore, Mi'ilah should still apply. So what is Rav doing with that? But again, according to Rashi, the question doesn't begin, because according to Rashi, it's not talking about a coal from the carbon, it's talking about a coal from the wood. Yeah. Anyway, so the answer is, Amalach Rav, Rav will answer.
It's not from the carbon.
If it's not from the carbon, then either you don't have the mitzvah particularly for it to be burnt, right? The answer is Amalach Rav, Shiny Gachelos, the Isbe Meshosha. The difference is that a coal has actual substance there. It's not the same as ashes, which after all are a pretty insubstantial thing. Yeah.
Why you said ashes is not exactly the mitzvah?
No. What we're saying is, what? No, we didn't say the ashes aren't. No. Rav had said that once the korban is burnt to ashes and the ashes are in the tapuach, then me'ilah doesn't apply anymore. What about our mishnah? Our mishnah doesn't mean it was actually taken to the Beis Hadeshen. It just means that it's ready to be taken to the Beis Hadeshen because it's in the tapuach. Once it's ashes, Rav learns me'ilah is gone. Me'ilah is when, and once it's ashes and Terumas Hadeshen has been taken from those ashes. Yeah. As opposed to a Gachelos, has Mamashra to their point. Then there are those who learned the discussion the other way around. Like this, the first Lashon that we had was we used it as a question on Rav, and Rav had to answer for his Shitta. So now the other way around is the Gemara starts with the second Lashon, the Gemara starts with the opposite assumption. Taima Mishum Gachelos, that what are we, the Isbe Mamashra, what are we saying? We're talking about Davka Kol, which has Mamashra, that we're saying you have to put back on the Mizbeach. Implying, but if it was ashes, even if they're on the mizbeach, because they have no mamashus, afilu legabe mizbeach ein meilinvoy. So even if it's on top of the mizbeach, me'ilah wouldn't apply. So now, if we learn it that way, b'shleim l'rav nicha, then according to Rav, we can understand because it's ashes, it's on the mizbeach, it's in the tapuach. Therefore, me'ilah no longer applies. El Rav Yechanan and kasha, but according to Rav Yechanan, me'ilah still applies. So they actually take it off the mizbeach and out to the Beis Hadeshen. So what do you mean that you shouldn't have to return it? And the answer is Amalach Rabbi Yechanan, who adin da'afilu efer. Rabbi Yechanan will say, actually, the din that we're talking about would indeed apply to ashes also. It wouldn't just apply if a coal fell off the Mizbeach versus stayed on the Mizbeach. The same concept would apply to a piece of ash that fell off the Mizbeach versus stayed on the Mizbeach. The reason why it mentions a coal, dafka kaasi lashmein, and taka because it wants to tell us that exact point. Da'afilu gachelas, the isbe mashosha, even a coal which has actual mamoshes to it, and you would think, therefore, you should always have to return it to the Mizbeach. But no, keep pokam, our guy ran Mizbeach. But if it jumps off the Mizbeach, lo yachdu, then you don't have to return it. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yechanan. Because once it falls off the Mizbeach, so then remember, again, Rashi's learning over here that we're talking about that this is a piece, that this is a coal that came from a piece of the wood, right? So therefore, there's no particular mitzvah to put it back on. And according to Tosfos, again, you have the various explanations. In Tosfos, one of them being that you have plenty of other ashes available to do Terumas Hadeshen. Or actually, according to Rabbi Yechanan, we would say that as long as it's on the Mizbeach, you have to put it back, because behotzi es hadeshen, you have to take out all the ashes that are available. But if it falls off the Mizbeach, then you don't have to already. It's fine. Now we have a discussion like this. Hanenem b'sar kodshe kodshim b'sinei zrikas damim. If a person has hana from the meat of kodshe kodshim before the zrika was done, now we've established already that only after the zrika was done does me'ilah go away, but as long as zrika was not done, me'ilah still applies. The emure kodshim kalim la'acha zrikas damim, or he has hana from the emurim of kodshim kalim after the zrika, where that's when me'ilah begins with them. So the question is basically, what does he do with the money that he's paying for his me'ilah? What does it go towards? Rav Amar Mashanena Yipalu L'Nedava. Rav says that what he had Hana should go to the Nedava boxes in the Beis Hamikdash, so that the Keren B'Chomish that he has to pay will go for Korban HaSibur. Plus, of course, he has to bring an Asham, because the regular Asham Me'ilas, but the Keren B'Chomish is going to go to Nedava. The Levi Amar Yavi Dava Shekula L'Mizbeach. Levi says instead what he should do is he should bring something that is going to completely be burnt on the Mizbeach.
Why shouldn't it? Well, I would think because I haven't done it because the question is about all Korbanos. If you ever know, what do you?
No, because we're saying no, because what we're talking about? Yeah, we're talking about Mila. So this is.
Mila is right.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Why
yeah.
He's coming to question Mila?
Okay, because there has to be someplace in Mila. So here
no,
is. Yeah.
No, but my question is because they're double apportioned.
Wait a minute, Davar Pashut. We know you have to pay the Keren L'Chemish. What does the Keren L'Chemish go towards? Which fund of the Beit Mikdash does it go to? Now, for example, if he's moyel in Kodesh Bedek HaBayis, then the Mi'ilah payment is going to go to Bedek HaBayis. If he's moyel in a Korban, which is what we're talking about over here, what does it go to? Think of it. For example, if he has anah from the meat of Kodesh Kodeshim, Lifnei Zrikas Dam, let's say it was a chatas. We can't say he's going to use the money for another chatas. He doesn't have to bring another chatas. And the same thing, there's an oila, maybe, okay, he could bring another oila conceivably, but he doesn't have to. So the question would be, yeah.
Oh, now
yeah.
I understand the question.
Fine. Okay, good.
See,
fine. Okay, so Rav is saying it goes to Nadava. The lady Amma Yabi Dava Shakula, but Amam actually has a different understanding of Yipul and Dava. But Amam understands that what it means is that it goes to what's called Shiorei Halishka. No, that's how Rashi learns. That means that it goes to Erlas Nadava. The Rambam learns that it goes to what's called Shiorei Halishka, the leftover money in the chamber where they put the Machzor Shekel, where they use it for doing things like fixing the walls of Yerushalayim and then different other upkeep around Yerushalayim and the Beit Mikdash.
But if you had enough from the meat, it came from the fair.
No, the meat of the Kodesh Kodeshim doesn't go on the Mizbeach. The meat of the Kodesh Kodeshim goes to the Kohen.
So when he was moil, he was moil
in something that's Mishulchan Gavoya, because it belongs on the table of Hashem, so to speak, and Hashem gives it to the Kohen. So therefore, yeah.
That can go to the Gavoya.
Well, so that's, right, yeah, okay, but the Rambam learns that that's what it means. That's what it means, Yipul Nadava. The Levi Yom Yabi Dava Shekulah L'Mizbeach. Levi says it means he has to bring something that goes completely on the Mizbeach, which does not, one second. Kulah L'Mizbeach does not mean an Oila, because an Oila doesn't go completely on the Mizbeach. The skin goes to the Kohen. Okay, skin is an important thing.
Well, it's going from Mizbeach. This anyway does not belong anymore to Mizbeach after the
because it was,
after the Zrike.
That's fine. But nevertheless, though, he had Hanoi, and it's not considered, stop a second. If it's Besau Kodesh Kodeshim Lifnei Zrike, yeah, the meat doesn't belong on the Mizbeach, but it's still Kodesh Hashem. If we're talking about a Murim, then yeah, they belong on the Mizbeach.
But there isn't a carbon that you mark with the skin, right?
Well, yeah, fine, but the fact of the matter is, one second. So what does it mean? Dabar shekula l'mizbeach? We'll learn in a couple of lines. So wait, Tanya kavasei de Levi. We learn a brisa like what Levi's saying. Actually, Shittim Kabbata says actually it's both. We have a brisa like Rav and we have a brisa like Levi. Me'ila zula heichan heilachas. Where does this value of the me'ila go? The keren mechomish for having hanoah from kodshim. Halamedin lifnei chachamim omrim. Those who learn in front of the chachamim say yavi davar shekulah l'mizbeach, that he should bring something which completely goes on the mizbeach. Ma'niu k'todas. Now, what would that be? K'todas is completely burnt on the mizbeach. Now, what it means is now k'todas can't be brought from a yachid. So what it means is he would have to take the money, he'd have to give it over to the tzibur, and then the tzibur. So actually, Mefoshim say it doesn't mean that he uses the money per se. It means what he does is he buys ingredients for k'todas with the money, gives them to the tzibur, and the tzibur uses them for the next batch of k'todas. So that way, k'todas kulah l'mizbeach. Who are these lemeidim lifnei chachamim? The Gemara has at the end of the first parak of Sanhedrin. The Gemara has a list of the various expressions that we have like this throughout Shas. Lemeidim lifnei chachamim. You have the expression that you have sometimes in Shas. Mechaku alei b'marava. They laughed about this in Eretz Yisrael. You have a number of different expressions like that that are used throughout Shas where it never defines who these people are, and there the Gemara explains who they are. So the Gemara explains that lemeidim lifnei chachamim is Levi. However, Tosfos says, apparently it can't be the same one, because what are we talking about? We're bringing a b'raisa from Levi, and Levi is going to bring a proof in the b'raisa from what he himself said. It doesn't make sense. So Tosfos says, apparently the l'meidim lifnei chachamim here must be somebody else. Okay. Anyway, Rashi doesn't learn like that, though. Rashi says it does, in fact, mean Levi himself. Okay. Anyway, so he says that he brings Tosfos. But then Tanya Kavasei the Rav. Then on the other hand, we have a Braisa like Rav. Hanenim idmei chatas or idmei osham. If a person had hana from money of chatas or money of osham, meaning in other words, let's say, so he set aside a certain amount of money for a chatas or for an osham, and he used some of the money. So it depends. Ad shalei korva chatasei. If he finds out before he brought the chatas that he had committed me'ila, then Yosef Yavi Chatosai, then he should add more money and use that towards his chatos. Yosef Yavi Hashamay, then he can add the money towards his asham. In other words, so for example, let's say he set aside, let's say for example, in the case of an asham, we learned in Christus that most ashamays have to cost at least 2 tzloim. So let's say he set aside 2 tzloim for the purpose. Now he was moyo with one of them. So now he takes the original sela that he had left over. He has another sela plus a choymesh. So altogether, having used a sela, then he needs a sela and a quarter. So a sela plus one dinner. So now altogether he has 2 1/4 tzloim, 9 dinarim, and he uses those to buy a better quality animal.
He didn't buy the animal yet, right.
So that's right. So that's what it means. In other words, he brings a better quality animal. The Tosfos stresses over here, we don't mean as far as the Asham, we don't mean his Asham Ne'ilas, we mean the original Asham that he was supposed to bring, that he had designated the money for. Of course, he's going to have to bring a separate Asham Ne'ilas, that's a separate fund that he needs for that.
For being oil.
His original carbon was he had to bring a Chathas for Chelev, or he had to bring an Asham for Shitcha Charofa or Zelus or what have you. Now he was Moil and part of the money, so now he takes the Keren Mechomish and uses it to buy towards buying a better air than he would have originally. And similarly, the same thing, if he finds out that he'd committed Me'ila before he brought his original Asham, same thing, Yosef, then he adds the extra money and brings it towards his Asham. On the other hand, Karav Chatasai, but on the other hand, if he only finds out after his Chatas was brought, so what is he supposed to do with the money now? So Yochul Yamamelech, then the money has to go to Yamamelech, because then it's like a Chatas HaMesa. It's already Niskapru Balea. He had his kapara with the existing chatas. So what is he supposed to do with this money? It's considered like money of a chatas. It's considered like money of a chatas that he set aside, and then Niskapru Balea, or Mesu Balea, or whatever, and the din is that it has to go to the, just like the chatas, just like if there was an animal there, it would be a chatas on Mesa. The same way the money goes to the Yam HaMelech. It's also
Bahano. Putting the money back into the custom that the Beshush have enough from that.
No, because that sometimes there are cases where we do that. There are cases where we have money of Moisu Chatos, and then that goes to that purpose. Fine, but this isn't that. You have cases of Chatois HaMesis. We learned extensively about this in Tmura, that sometimes we have 5 cases where Chatos has to be left to die. We have other cases where Chatos is able to be left to graze until it develops a mum, and then the money goes to Nadava. So the same thing with Moiso, the same thing with leftover money from a Chatos. There's a difference whether it's before or after the Kapara.
He's bringing a Chatos because he was Melanagas?
No, he's bringing a Chatos because of some other thing. He ate Chalev, let's say, so he designated, he set aside some money for a Chatos. Then he was Moyo with some of that money. Now, meanwhile, let's say, so he went ahead, he added more money, and he bought a chatas, and brought an animal, and brought his carbon. Or he used whatever money was left, because the chatas doesn't have a minimum value. Whatever. Afterwards, he realized that he committed me'ila. So now, what is he supposed to do with the keren l'chomish that he's supposed to pay for the money of his chatas that he used? Now he can't use it towards another chatas anymore. Now, therefore, it has to go to the Yam HaMelech. Kvar korav ashamai, and if a similar thing happens with an asham, then yipulul nadava, then the money goes into the nadava boxes, because then you have the usual rule that there's a rule that we learned about in Tmura called kol shavachatas mesa ba'asham roya. All the cases where if it was a chatas, it has to be left to die, if a similar thing happens with an asham, mesa ba'alea, neskafu ba'alea, et cetera, the din is you leave the animal to graze till it develops a mum, you sell it, and the money goes to the nadava boxes. So only by a chatos is there a concept of chatos hamesis, by an asham not, right? Then the braisa continues, hanenem kodshe kodshim lifnei zrikas damim. If a person has hana from kodshe kodshim before zrikas damim, where again, me'ila hasn't applied yet, ve'emuri kodshim kalam la'acha zrikas damim, or emurim of kodshim kalam after zrika, which is when me'ila starts, then mashanena yipul nadava, then the din is that the hana that he had goes to the nadava boxes, which is what Rav had said. The Rav had said that it goes to nadava, as opposed to Levi had said you'd use it to buy keturis. Here we're talking about from the actual meat or a murim of the carbon before or after zrika, as the case may be. The rule is any hana that a person has from korbanos that are supposed to go on the mizbeach, the rule is la mizbeach, the money for them goes towards korbanos that are going to be brought on the mizbeach. Kodshe, Vedekabais, Vedekabais, Korbonis, Korbonis, Kodshe, Vedekabais, if a person had Hana from Kodshe, Vedekabais, then Lebedekabais, then the money that he pays, the Karen Mechomish, goes to the Vedekabais, Korbonis Tibur, the Nidbas Tibur, and if he uses, if he's Moyal in Korbonis Tibur, then the money goes to Nidbas Tibur. Now, okay, so actually I said it wrong before. When I said before about the Rambam saying that it goes to Moshe Lishka, I mentioned that in the wrong place. That belongs over here. Rashi over here says there's no real difference between when we say over here, Kor Korbanos HaMizbeach HaMizbeach, and when we're saying that Kor Korbanos Tibur, the Nidbas Tibur, it amounts to the same thing. Either way, they go to the Nadava boxes. The Braisa is just separating them because it wants to stress that each time it's going to something related to the original purpose. The Rambam, on the other hand, learns that when Mizbeach means exactly what it sounds like, it goes to the Nidava boxes that are used to buy Erlis for the Mizbeach. The Nidbach, here's where he says that the Nidbach Tibur would mean that it goes to the Shiori HaLishka and eventually is used to fix the walls of your Shalayim or whatever else they need for it.
What example would go for Shiori HaLishka?
So for example, in this case, let's say a person committed Me'ilah with one of the Korbanos Tibur. So according to the Rambam, the money would go to Shiori HaLishka.
So it doesn't have to go for a carbon sibir, it can go for also for...
That's according to the Rambam. According to Rashi, it goes for a carbon sibir. Okay. So the question is, first we have to figure out what the Braisa is saying. Hog gufa kasha, we seem to have a contradiction within the Braisa itself. So the point was, in other words, we said we had Rav's opinion and we had Levi's opinion, and we see that there are Braises that go according to both of them. We had the Braisa that Levi, Tanya Kavasei de Levi, that the money goes to Dover Shekul Mazeach, which is Kodesh, and then we had, according to Rav, where we had this long Braisa that we just quoted, where we mentioned in the middle of it that Kor Korbanos HaMizbeach HaMizbeach, which is what Rav said that you use it for Korbanos that are going to go on the Mizbeach. Okay. So now, let's figure out the Braisa. Hogufa kasha. We have a contradiction within the Braisa itself. We're saying, Ad shalei kor v'chatosa, Yosef v'yavi chatosa. First, we're saying that there's a difference with a chatos, whether it's before or after he brought his chatos. We said if he found out before he brought the chatos that he'd committed me'ilah, we say then he adds the extra money and uses it towards the chatos. But mishakor v'chatosa yochol yam ha-melech, then we're saying that if he had already brought his chatos and then he discovers that he committed me'ilah, then we say the money goes into the yam ha-melech. The katoni, but then the braisa is later on continuing. Kol korbanos hamizbeach hamizbeach. Any time he has hana from korbanos hamizbeach, then the money goes towards korbanos for the mizbeach. V'loishna deikapur baylim, v'loishna hecha delo yikapur. It doesn't matter whether the owner had kapara yet or not. So what is it? Do you say that even though it was a chatas? No. So do you say that even though it was a chatas, you'd still use the money for nidbas tibur, or do we say it goes to the yamamelach, depending whether it's before or after kapara? The answer is, it's two different tanoim. Reisha Reb Shimon. The Reisha of this Braisa goes according to Reb Shimon. The Omar, where Reb Shimon says, Kol Chatas Shekipru Baal Le'a Tomus. He says, always, when the owner was Kipru, then the Chatas is a Chatas HaMesa. Meaning, now there is the basic concept of the Skapru Baal Le'a. That is one of the five Chatoris HaMesas. But Reb Shimon and the Chachamim argue about, for example, let's say, what's the classic case of Niskapur Baalei Ba'achar? The classic case is a person designated one animal for a korban, for a chatas, then he lost it, then he brought another animal instead. Later on, after he was mastered the first one, the second one turned up. That, everybody agrees, would be a chatas amesa. The question is, what happens if he found the first one before he was mastered the second one? But then, now he has two animals in front of him, both of which have kedushas chatas. So suppose now, instead of using the second animal, instead he uses the original animal, the one that was lost and now found. So Reb Shimon is going to hold that the other one now becomes a chatas hamesa, and the chacham will hold, no, it only has to be roya. You leave it to graze and develop some more, et cetera. So therefore, the first part of our braisa goes like Reb Shimon, because you have the same case over here when he found before kapara versus after kapara. It's the equivalent of the animal having gotten lost and then found. So the Gemara asks, Reisha Reb Shimon to sefer Rabbanon. So are you telling me that the beginning of the braisa is like Reb Shimon and the end of it goes like the Rabbanon? We don't usually do that. The answer is yes. Amar Gria Deve Kosel Loravashi. Yes, Hachi Amar Abaya. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Abaya says, Reshit Rav Shimon, Mesefer Rabbanon. That's exactly how it is in our Braisa. The beginning goes like Rav Shimon. That's why it's saying it depends before Lifne Kapara and La'acha Kapara whether the money is going to go into the Yamamela. Versus the Sefer just says generically, any time he was Muril and Karbonis, it always goes to Nidva, it always goes to the Nidava. It always goes to Karbonis for the Mizbeach. That means doesn't matter Lifne Kapara or La'acha Kapara, which would be like the Rabban. Okay, Omar Rava. So now Rava says in this connection, Shitva Kubasa says actually it should be Ula instead.
Shitva
Kubasa
in the
Gemara,
or you just know
from
the heart?
No, I see it on the side of the sign. It's on the sign, yeah. Okay. Omar Rava, or Omar Ula. Hakol Moedim. Now, it's like this. Everybody will agree to the following din. She'im nenem b'sar kodshe kodshim shenitma, that if a person has hana from meat of kodshe kodshim that became tummy, kodim zrika is in parenthesis over here, and Shittim Kubetis takes it out, and Tosfos also takes it out, because it wouldn't really matter whether it was lifne zrika or whether it was lifne zrika or la'acha zrika, it became tummy. That's the point. So if we say Nitma Kodim Zrika, then it means even if they became Tomei before the Zrika, nevertheless, the Zrika still has an effect to take away Me'ila. But if we don't say the word, if we don't have the word Kodim Zrika, then it just means the Psao Kodim Kodim became Tomei. In other words, only if it was after the Zrika.
But once something is Tomei, does it change after Zrika?
If the meat becomes Tomei before Zrika, then you're not supposed to be Zodik the Dam on it. Right. But if they did, then nevertheless he's Potter from Me'ila. That's what we're gonna say. Umeimure Kodshim Kalam La'acha Shahelon. Or another case would be if he had Hana from the Emurim of Kodshim Kalam after he brought them up to the Mizbeach, even though they weren't burnt yet. The potter, the Rava or Ula, is saying everybody will agree that they're potter. Now, who's the everybody, by the way?
Which one is everybody?
When we say Hakol Moedim, Rashi says we're referring back to the machlokas of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan at the beginning of our Gemara. Right after the Mishnah, we had the machlokas of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan about the Eifer Tapuach. So Rashi says, and Tosfos also says, that we're referring back to that machlokas. We dealt with their machlokas. Then we started talking about another machlokas between Rav and Levi about Kodshim, about if he had Hana, what it goes to. Does it go to a Korban? Does it go to Todas or whatever? And now the Gemara is returning to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Chazanish doesn't like that. He says that if we already finished with Rav and Rabbi Yochanan before, and then we spent half an Amud on Rav and Levi, why all of a sudden are we going back to them? So he learns that we're actually referring to Rav and Levi's machlokas as well. Anyway, okay, so Rava is saying like this. If he had Hana from meat of Kodshim Kodshim that became Tomei, Kodim Zrika, Ume Emure Kodshim Kalam La'acha Shehelon, or he had Hana from a Murim of Kodshim Kalam after they were brought up to the Mizbeach, even though they weren't burnt yet, the potter, everybody will agree that he is potter from the Ila. Now, it's interesting, though, we learned in the Gemara, on the face of it, that things that are burnt on the Mizbeach, the Ila still applies until they become ashes. And even after that, until they're brought to the Beis HaDeshen or whatever. So Rashi and Tosfos over here both learn that there's a difference in that between a Murim of Kodshe Kodshim and a Murim of Kodshim Kalim. This that we said in the Mishnah, that the Me'ilah still applies until Ad Shiyetz of the Beis HaDeshen, is all talking about Kodshe Kodshim. But Kodshim Kalim, they learn, once the Emurim are put on the Mizbeach and start burning, then Me'ilah goes away from them. With that said, the Rambam seems to learn differently, because the Rambam paskins this din, but he also mentions that Emurim Me'ilah applies to them until they're... So one explanation is the Rambam would say that all Gemara is talking about over here, suppose he put them on the Mizbeach before Zrika. So even though you would think normally Zrika is what makes Me'ilah Bichal on them, you would think, though, in this case, they would put on the Mizbeach before the Zrika. Maybe just putting them on the Mizbeach alone makes it that Me'ilah should start applying. No, it still doesn't apply until the Zrika. Okay.
That would be possible anyway.
Well, no, it wouldn't be. No, I don't know if it would be possible necessarily. No, the Pashtus...
Why isn't it Me'ilah?
Well, you would think the fact that you put it on the mizbeach, and now it becomes called Hashem, because you're now going to burn it on the mizbeach. So you would think maybe Me'ilah would apply, but we're saying that no, because Zrik hasn't been done. Okay. So the question is, Pshita, obviously in these two cases he should be Potter. My Kamafsid. After all, how is he making Hektish lose anything? When it comes to meat of Kodshe Kodshim, which is Tomei, nobody can use it. All you can do with it is burn it. And Emurim Kodshim Kalim also. They're on the Mizbeach, and they're already burning. So why would we think Me'ilah should apply to them? The answer is Ma'u Detema, Sao Kodshe Kodshim Shenitma. Yeah, but the Chiddush is like this. With both of them, there's a Chiddush. When it comes to meat of Kodshe Kodshim that became Tomei, fine, nobody's allowed to eat it. And it's not like you burn it on the Mizbeach, because except for an Oila, you don't burn the meat on the Mizbeach. But Islay mitzvah strefa la koyanim, you would argue there still exists a mitzvah for the koyanim to burn it, and therefore it should still be considered that it has a certain usefulness to hektish, that hektish still has a certain usefulness to it. And kodshim kalim, when it comes to kodshim kalim, similarly, you could argue, ikka mitzvah la puchi b'tzinoira. There's still a mitzvah to turn them over using a fork, using a tzinoira as a large keli, sort of like, that looks sort of like a pitchfork, which they would use to turn over the pieces of meat and the pieces of wood on them as bayach to make them burn faster. Now, that is, to a certain extent, considered an avoida. There's actually, for example, Tosfos brings over here. Tosfos brings over here from a Gemara in Shavuos, for example, that if a Zor were to do that, he would be Chayav Mitzvah, because he did Avodah. But nevertheless, though, the fact of the matter is, it's not essential. You don't have to be Mahapach the Tzinoira, because eventually the piece will burn, even if you don't do that. So it'll just take longer, right? So Kamash Malon, Deloy, therefore, that's the Chiddush, that it's not considered that Hektish should have any more use for the meat, because there's a mitzvah burning it, or for Me'emurim, because there's a mitzvah to be Mahapach the Tzinoira, the Chiddush is that not, and therefore Me'ilah doesn't apply. Omar Rabba, Hod Amrit Kvav Korvach.
Because Zike says the version you're posting is Zorak.
Well, because Zorak, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Tosfos says, because you have to do Zrika, there's no other choice. Mm-hmm. The same thing, you have to do Terumas Hadeshen, there's no other choice. Terumas Hadeshen has to be done every day. But when it comes to the Hatha Fatinoda, it's not necessarily, that is not necessarily, it doesn't have to be done.
Right? In this case, it's a Tame, you don't spray in, you know.
Well, if it became Tomei before Zrika, yeah, then you're not supposed to sprinkle the blood anyway. But if you did, then it still takes away Me'ilah, yeah. Okay. Let's return now to Rav and Levi's machlokas about, or not really Rav and Levi's machlokas, but the Braisa in that connection that we mentioned, that according to Rav Shimon, if he was moil with money of chatas, and then he already brought the chatas with the rest of the money, and then he wants to pay back his me'ilah, so we say the money goes to the Yamamelech. That would only apply if he found out that he was moil before the kapara. So in other words, I didn't say it quite right before. What it is not that he first found out after kapara. The difference would be that he found out that he had committed me'ilah before kapara, but then he's only paying it back after kapara, versus not. Right. So therefore, so Hanimili dis yadele kame kapara. Only if he found out that he's actually chayev to pay for the me'ilah before the kapara. So therefore, at the time, he could have added it to the money of his chatas. So therefore, when he designates it, it's not necessarily being designated to be wasted. He could have been makriv it. If he chooses not to, then we'd say it would go to the Yamamelech. Avala acha kapara yiplu l'nadava. But, says Rava, if he only found out that he'd committed me'ilah, la'acha kapara, then the din would be yiplum the nedava. The money goes into the nedava box. It goes used to buy olas for the tzibur. My timer, why is that? Because ein mafrishin mitchilo le'ibud. You don't, to begin with, set aside money where the only thing that can be done with it is to destroy it and throw it into the Yamamelech. So if he was doiche biyadayim by he knew before me'ilah that he owes the money, and instead of taking that money now and using it towards his chassas, he chose to do it afterwards, that's his problem, and then it goes to the Yamamelech. But otherwise, okay. Mishnah says, okay, so the previous Mishnah we talked about the various kinds of kodshe kodshim, when me'ilah begins with them and when me'ilah ends with them. And also, incidentally, for each one of them, we mentioned that there comes a point in their life cycle when they become able to be possible with Tzvul Yom or Mechotzei Kippurim touches them, or with Lina. We said, for example, the first example of the previous Mishnah, let's say, for example, that you have an Ola Sa'if, you have, the Me'ilah begins to apply once you're Makdash it. Once the Kohen does Melika, then if a Tavur Yom and Mechus Kippurim touches it, then it becomes possible. And if it's Lina, if it's left overnight, then it becomes possible. Then once he squeezes the blood out of the Mizbeach, then Tigul Noster and Tomei begin to apply, and Me'ilah will apply until it takes to the Beis HaDesh, until the ashes are taken out to the Beis HaDesh. So now we're going to talk about, in our Mishnah, we're going to talk about, on the other hand, all of those that we had in the previous Mishnah are things that have a Matu. They have something of them that's Matu, the rest of them, to do the next Avodah. Now we're going to deal with things which are their own Matu, which don't have a Matu of their own. So a Matu means, for example, let's say with a typical korban, an animal korban, let's say, sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach is a Matu. Now you're allowed to burn the Emurim. The Emurim, in turn, are the Matu for the meat. Now you're allowed to eat the meat if it's a korban that's supposed to be eaten. And the same thing, let's say, with a mincha. The koymet is a matir. No. But in other words, there is a matir from many kinds of korban where the matir itself, something is done with it on the mizbeach, and the rest of it now becomes mutter.
Well, you can't.
You can't. Until you sprinkle the blood and burn the emorim. Or let's say, yeah. No. Forget about before the shchita. Even after the shchita, you can't eat it. No. But for example, with a mincha, you have the koymetz is a matir. Once the koymetz is burnt on the mizbeach, the koyim are allowed to eat the shiraim, etc. So now we're going to talk about things that have no matir because they themselves are completely burnt on the mizbeach. So the Mishnah says that koymetz, the koymetz of a mincha, the halavoyna, and the lavoyna that's sprinkled on the mincha, which is also burnt completely on the mizbeach.
Is the
frankincense? The akhtoris. Or minchas koyanim, a mincha of a koyan, which we've learned about in Masech the Menachos, is completely burnt on the mizbeach. The whole minchas koyan kolot here. Or minchas koyan mashiach, the mincha of the koyan mashiach that he brings every day. Or minchas nisachim, the minchas nisachim that accompanies a korban, which is completely burnt or poured on the mizbeach. Well, you have flour, wine, and oil. So the flour and oil mixture, the mincha is burnt on the mizbeach, and the wine is poured onto the mizbeach. Yeah. So all of those things, molin behen b'shavuktishu, again, being kodshim, me'ilah applies to them once you maktish them, once you verbally are maktish them. Kidshon b'kli, each one of them, once you maktish it in a keli, then hochshali possible tavul yom v'mechotik kipurim v'alina. So then, as we said before, then you have the same rule that if a tavul yom v'mechotik kipurim touches them, they become possible. And if lina happens, then they become possible. And what we mean is that again, it means they have a higher level. Now they have kedushas aguf, basically, as soon as you put them in a kli shoris. Actually, Tosfos points out that actually the koymetz really has kedusha even before that. So really, we're mentioning it because actually the koymetz is originally in the kli shoris with the rest of the mincha. Then you take it out from there and put it into another kli. But fine. But so we're not mentioning the kodesh of a kli is primarily talking about the other thing that we're mentioning over here. Not so much about the koymetz because that was already the kli. Okay. Anyway. Okay, the koymet starts out in a keli with the rest of the mincha, right? Then you take the koyan takes the koymet out of that and puts it into another keli. It doesn't get kedusha laguf when it goes into the second keli. It has kedusha laguf once it's in the first keli already. So therefore, when the Mishnah is saying over here, Tosfos says, when the Mishnah is saying that kidshon b'kli, it's not referring to all of them. It's referring only to some of the things over here. So again, tavul yom v'chutz kippurim and lina applied v'chayav and olam mishum noisu or mishum tomi or pigul. And at that point, a person is chayav for eating it if it's noisu or mishum tomi. If it's noisu, then he's chayav kores or achatas for eating it. If he's tomi, same thing. In other words, there's no other matir to say that only at a certain point should it become subject to noisu and tomi, because as soon as it's put in the keli, then that's it. Yeah. Pigul einbar. However, pigul doesn't apply to these things because zehaklal. This is the rule we learned this in Tzvachim. Kol sheyesh lematir. And anything which has a matir, for example, again, the blood of a korban is a matir for the korban. The koymetz of a mincha is a matir for the mincha, etc. Then you're only chayav for pigul noiser or tomei once the matir was offered on the mizbeach. So that's what we've been saying in the previous Mishnayot, for example. When does pigul noiser and tomei kick in for an ola or a chatas or any other korban? Only when the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, because the blood is the matir. As opposed to with the koymetz and the levoina and so on and so forth, they have no matir. So therefore, so anything that doesn't have a matir, all these things that we listed in our Mishnah are they're their own matir because they're completely burnt on the mizbeach. Kivin shekidish v'kli, then as soon as they have kedusha in a kli charis, chayavin alav mishum noisa v'tame, then you chayav aneh for noisa and tame. And again, pigul ein ba, pigul doesn't apply to it because pigul only applies to things that have a matir, and these things don't have a matir. No, it's not even something that you eat. Pigul, for example, pigul applies to an oila, even though you're not supposed to eat it. But no, the difference is an oila has a matir in the sense that when are you allowed to take the rest of the oila and burn it on the mizbeach? Only after the zrika. So therefore, only when the zrika is done, that's the matir, only then does pigul and nosu and tome kick in.
Whereas
over here, we're talking about, let's say, the koimets and the lavona and so forth. They are completely burnt on the mizbeach, so there's no one part of them that you can say, this is the matir, and the rest is, then the rest is, so to speak, the shirayim of it. No, the whole thing is the matir. Therefore, pigul doesn't apply. The Gemara explains in Zvachim, we learn this from the fact, where does the Pasuk mention the whole concept of pigul? It mentions it in connection with a korban shlomim. And a shlomim has a matir. Because a shlomim is an animal korban and has blood that goes on the mizbeach. So therefore, we learn from that that to be subject to pigul, the thing has to have a matir. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Minahani miri." Where do we know this? That noser and tome apply whether something has a matir or not. So pigul, we just said how we know that not. But how do we know that noser and tome? Maybe the same three rules should apply to all of them. So like this, the Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a brisa. Yocho ein chayavin mishum tuma elo b'davar sheyesh lematir. Minahani mili. Detonin abonim, we learn in a braisa. Yocho ein chayavin mishum tuma elo b'davar sheyesh lematir. You would think that maybe the dinim of tuma, of a person being chayav kores to a chata, or not a chata, whatever, a korban, or the b'yodin, for eating kodshim b'tuma, is only if the kodshim have a matirin. So therefore, in other words, if a tome were to eat, for example, from the meat of an oila, or a chata, or what have you, then he'd be chayav a korban. He'd be chayav a korban, or the b'yodin. But let's say, for example, if he ate the koimet, then he wouldn't be, because the koimet itself, we said, has no matir. And you would argue with dinhu, you would think to make kavachomer to say that would be the case, because you would argue like this: uma pigul shehu biyadiachas madach pigul, where you only need one yadia, because what happens when it comes to tumas mikdash v'kodshav, we learn in Masech Shavuos that in order for a person to be chayav the korban or the biyodin, it has to be a special circumstance. It has to be there was yadia b'tchila v'yadia b'soif v'hela mentayim. He knew originally that he was Tomei, and that this is the Beis Mikdash, or these are Kodshim. Then he forgot that he was Tomei, or that these are Kodshim, or this is the Beis Mikdash. And he went into the Beis Mikdash, ate the Kodshim, whatever. And later on, he realized what he had done wrong. Only then did he bring the Korban over the earth. If there was only a Diyah B'Tchila, and only a Diyah B'Soif, it discusses there in the first Mishnah, in the first Perek of Shavuot, it discusses there that various Korbanos Tzibur that are brought during the year are Mechatur for those. But so on the other hand, when it comes to pigul, you don't need that. A person eats pigul. It could be that he never knew before that pigul was osur, or he never knew this korban was pigul. He eats it. Later on, he finds out that pigul was osur and that this korban was pigul, and he has to bring a chatas. So by pigul, you only need one yediyah. So that's one chumrah of it. V'korbanei kavua, another chumrah in pigul is you always bring a fixed korban. You always have to bring an animal for an animal chatas. And there's never an exception that pigul is allowed to eat. And yet, we're saying that pigul only applies to things that have a matir, so not the koimets, for example. So then, tuma is much more lenient than pigul. Number one, the person is only chayav of a korban if there were two yediyas, one at the beginning and one at the end, like we said.
In between he forgot.
Number two, the korban early year. The korban is not a fixed value korban that Hashem has rachmanos on him and allows him to bring a cheaper korban if he can't afford it. And there is an exception where sometimes tuma is mutter, namely you have korban sibur can be brought for tuma. And in fact, Rashi says if we're talking about the korban pesach, not only is it brought for tuma, but it's even eaten for tuma. So then you would argue, shouldn't it be a kavachomer, therefore it should only apply to something that has a matir? Because it can't be more stringent than pigul.
So, which one?
Tuma.
No, something that doesn't have a matir.
We're arguing, we're saying that pigul doesn't apply to that. We know that because we learned from Shlomo. So now the kavachomer should tell us that tomei doesn't apply to it either. So if a person eats it when he's tummy, he shouldn't be chayav kares or a chatas.
Where's the kal?
The kal is tumah, and the chomer is pigle. Pigle has three factors in which it's more stringent, more chomer than tumah. That's number one, you only need one yediyah by pigle. You need two at the beginning and the end by tumah. Number two, pigle, a person always has to bring an animal chatas, whereas tumah she'achal kodesh brings a korban over the yerid, so he might even only bring a mincha if that's all he can afford. And number three, pigle, there's never an exception when it's mutter. Tumah, there is an exception when tibur is tumah. So then, it's Talmud Lomar, therefore, to tell us not to follow that Kal Vachomer. Therefore, the Pasuk says, like this, Emer Aleichem L'Dereseichem, the Pasuk Hashem says to Moshe, tell them, meaning Aaron and his sons, the Kohenim, tell them in all your generations, Kol Ish Asher Yikrab Mikol Zarachem, Vachomer, any person from among your generations who comes close, B'chola Kodshim, to any of the Kodshim, Yikrab would be pashtus mean that he touches them. And when he's Tomei. So b'chol hakodshim, hakodshim medaber. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Ish asheyikra mekol zarachem el hakodshim asher yakdishu bnei Yisrael l'Hashem." So it means all kodshim are subject to this rule that a tomei is not allowed to eat them. So b'chol hakodshim, hakodshim medaber. The pasuk is talking about all kodshim. So the question is, yochol yu chayav aleihem miyad? You would think as soon as a person touches them when he's tomei, he should be chayav. No, Talmud Lomar asher yikrav. Therefore, the pasuk says that. You would think like this. If the korban has a matir, then maybe a person is chayev for tumah only after the matir was brought. So in other words, the same way as we were saying with that, for example, that pigul applies only after the matir was brought. If a person were to eat, if let's say the person who shechted the korban had a machsheves zman, which makes it pigul, later on, let's say a person were to eat from the meat of this korban before zrika, he's not chayev for pigul. He's over on a different lois that's there for eating before Zvika. But he's not over on Pigle yet, only until Zvika, because the matir has to be offered before Pigle kicks in. So you would argue maybe when it comes to Tomei the same thing, or maybe you would argue not the same thing, rather. Maybe you would argue, since the Pasuk is saying, Isha sheyikrab b'kol zarachem el ha-kodshim, to the kodshim, so maybe it implies that as soon as it's kodshim, if a Tomei eats it, whether the matirin were offered or not, either way he's going to be chayim. So in this scenario, so if a Tomei were to eat meat from a korban before Zrika, he would be chayev also. He'd be chayev the korban of the year, you're correct. Yeah, you would think. Talmud Lomar asher yikrav. Therefore, the pasuk says, asher yikrav, which implies that he touches it. Now, Omer Rav Elazar v'chi yesh negei asher chayev. But Rav Elazar says, what are you talking about? You never find that a person touches kodshim when he's Tomei, he's chayev kodesh for that. Ha ketzad. So what does it mean, asher yikrav? It must mean not yikrav as in he comes close and touches it, but asher yikrav that it can be offered. So ha ketzad, what do we mean? Kol davar sheyesh lematirin. So the rule becomes like this, as we said. Anything that has a matir, for example, a korban has its blood, eini chayev ad sheyikruv hamatirin. He's only chayev for eating it, the tumah, only after the matir was offered on the mizbeach. The blood was sprinkled, the kaimetz was offered, etc. Kol davar sheein lematirin, something which doesn't have a matir, because the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. For example, the kaimetz, eini chayev ad sheyikdash b'kli, then he becomes chayev only when it's placed into a kli shoreis and gets kedush zaguf.
So even something that doesn't have a matir, we see from here.
So a person who eats it when he's tomei will be chayev for it. Unlike with pigle, where we're saying that pigle doesn't apply to something that has no matir, because that's what we're using from the words el hakodshim, that it applies, that tumah of the ister of a tomei eating from kodshim and the kores, so the chatas that applies here, applies across the board, whether there's a matir or not. But the difference is, we're saying like this. So let's summarize. When it comes to pigle, before the matir was brought, pigle doesn't apply. After the matir was brought, pigle does apply. And if it has, that's if it has matir in. If it has no matir, then pigle doesn't apply at all. Tumah was saying is different. Tumah was saying is, if it has a matir, if he eats from it, if he's tomei and he eats from it before Zrika, he's not chayev kares. If he eats from it after Zrika, he is chayev kares. That's if it has a matir. If it doesn't have a matir, then he's chayev for it when he eats it the tumah, regardless. As soon as it has conditions of growth, as soon as it was placed in a cave. Yeah. Okay. Hadron alachachas ha'oif. So that's it. So now we're going to talk about more. So now, continuing on the topic of tumura. Mostly now in this parak, we're going to be dealing with cases where you're not supposed to have hanah from something, but if you did, you're not chayev from me'ilah. Some of these, as we go through, we're going to see some of them, it's deraisa, it's also to have anah from them, but the Torah doesn't impose me'ila on it, because it's not kodesh Hashem, or for whatever reason. Some of them, it's only that the issur is drabanan. So midraisa, nothing would apply, but midrabanan, a person did, then he's over. Okay. So the Mishnah says that this Mishnah we had pretty much word for word in Tmura, and the Gemara is going to ask why it's repeated over here, and the Gemara asks the same thing in Tmura as well. Vlad Chata, so Tmura Chata, Chata Shemesuvalea. These are three. We have the five Chatois Hamesis. These are the first three of them. The baby of a Chatas animal, the Tmura.
It came out when it was set. It was set.
No, not that it was found. Not necessarily that it was found alive in the womb. We're talking about the Tmura. It became pregnant. It became pregnant after it was a Chatas. Yeah. So there's a Vlad Chatas. So it has Kedusha by virtue of its mother. But on the other hand, you can't use it for kapara because you didn't originally designate it for a Chatas. There we are. Utmuras chatas. If a person made a tmura with a chatas, also it's a chatas hamesa. And Rashi says actually there's a reason for that because it came through an avera. Now you ask, you're not allowed to do a tmura. Lo yachli fenugol yomeroi. So how you talking that he would bring such a thing for a chatas? And the chatas shemesu balea, a chatas where the owner died before he offered it. So ein kapara lamesim. So those three, ba'aleha, so therefore yamusu. Therefore those three are chatois hamesis. They have to be left to die. Then you have the other two, v'she'ibra shnasa. Then you have where the animal is over a year old, v'she'ovda, v'nimtas balas mum, or because most of the chatois, pretty much all chatois have to be brought, and the animal has to be under a year old, or v'she'ovda, v'nimtas balas mum, or the animal was lost, and then when he found it, he found that it's a balas mum. And Rashi explains, the scenario is when he lost it, it was a tmima. But now what happened is when he found it, instead of taking this one and selling it, and using the money towards another chatas, he just takes a different animal and brings it instead. So now the original one is going to be a chatas amesa.
Even though it has a mum.
Right. Rashi actually learned. We actually had a sugya about this in the Masechta Tmura where the Gemara had different opinions about this, and Rashi and Tosfos have different opinions. When we say over here in the Mishnah, she'ibra shnasa v'she'ovda v'nimtas balas mum, is it that we mean that when is it a chatas hamesa only if you have two factors against it? That's how Rashi learns that if ibra shnasa and ibra shnasa and it was lost, or she'ovda v'nimtas balas mum, or it was lost, and then in other words, she'ovda, Rashi explains, would be applying to both of them. That while it was lost, it turned a year old, or while it was lost, it developed a mum. Because Rashi learns, basically, the more problems you have, the more reyesis you have on it, the more reason that is to make it a chatas hamesa. Tosfos over there and over here disagrees and says that no, actually, the more reyesis you have, the more things that prevent it from being brought to the korban, those are more reasons to say that it should be roya, that it should have to graze until it develops a mum, and then you use the money for nedava rather than Tosfos. Right, it takes exactly the opposite view of Rashi. So according to Tosfos, what we mean is over here exactly she'avra shnasa, it just means that it was lost, or she'avda, and then it was balas mum. He lost it, and then it turned out to be a balas mum.
The fact that it was lost to the chassan, or it's lost because it's over a year.
No, it was he lost it. He had the animal available to bring his korban, and then he lost it, and then he lost it before.
Does that make a mum?
Well, so it's not in and of itself, but if it was lost when he was machapa with another animal and later on he found it, definitely tomus. Yeah. And then you have another case where it was found to be a balas mum. So those five. So in Mishakibra Bailam Tomus, if he found the animal after the owner was machapa with another animal, Tomus, then it has to be left to die. The Eina Oita Tmura, such an animal cannot make a Tmura because it doesn't have, really, it's not considered to have Kedushas Domim or Kedushas Mizeach. The value of it doesn't go to a carbon because we're saying you lock it up and it dies. That it itself is not being brought to the carbon. Therefore, it doesn't have enough Kedusha to be Tofus, another animal with Tmura. So if a person were to say this other animal is a tmura for this chatas hamesa, and nothing happens, the other animal is still holding.
This one has to be
chatas hamesa, sure. Veloy nen and veloy moyalin. Also, then you're not allowed to have anah from it. But Me'ila doesn't apply because you're not allowed to because they have Kedusha. But on the other hand, Me'ila would only apply to them D'Rabbanan, which means it actually says therefore you don't have to pay the Keren because, again, they're not meant to be brought as a Korban, so you can't call it Kodshei Hashem. The Imad Shalekipra Bailim, on the other hand, if you found the original animal before he was miskapa with the original one, and now it's a balafmum, what do you do with it? Well, so if it was Ibra Shnosa, Tira Adchitistoiv, you have to leave it until it develops a mum, Vitimocho, then you sell it. If it was found a balafmum, then obviously you don't have to wait, it's a balafmum right now. But either way, they use the money to buy another animal, V'oisa Tmura, then this original animal is still able to make a tmura because it has to just dumming because the money of it is going to be used for a carbon. And therefore Me'ila applies to it as well because, again, it still has to
dush.
Well, until he sells it, and now he has the money available for a new chasa.
Then the
solution goes off it once he's paid it, sure. So the Gemara asks, first of all, Mishnah Reisha the Loikom Biflugi, why is it in the Reisha the Mishnah is not distinguishing, the Mishnah is not, so like this, we have the five Chatois, and the Mishnah is dividing them into two groups. You have a group of three, and then you have a group of two. And in the first three, it's just making a blanket statement, Yamusu. Vlad Chatos, Tmuras Chatos, Chatos from Ezebelda, Yamusu, period. Why is it in the Sefer the Mishnah is distinguishing? And why B'chalal is the Mishnah breaking up? The question really is, why is the Mishnah breaking up the five into two different groups? Why not list them all five together? The answer is Reisha Psikale. The reason is because the Reisha is a blanket statement. It's an absolute statement. Sefer Psikale, because the Sefer is not. In the Reisha, the first three cases always Yamutsu. There's never an exception. Vlad Chatos is always going to be Mesa. Shmuras Chatos, always Mesa. Chatos Shemesa Baalel, always Mesa. No question about it. As opposed to the other two, She'ibra Shnosa and She'ovda V'nimtas Balas Mum, then as the Mishnah says, it depends whether Kippur Bailim or Lo Kippur Bailim. Therefore, the Mishnah divides them and separates the first three from the other two because in the last two, you have different scenarios. Sometimes it's Mesa and sometimes it's not. That's what it is. That's why the Mishnah didn't list all five of them together. Okay, the question is, Hatana Legabat Tmura. We have the same Mishnah word for word in Masechta Tmura. So why is it repeated over here? And the answer is, like the Gemara answered over there, Tana Hasa Mishum Tmura, Tana Hasa Mishum Me'ila. Over there, the Mishnah, over there, it meant, the Tana mentioned it because it's in connection with the Dinu of Tmura, because we're saying in our Mishnah, in the first case is Ein Oisa Tmura, and in the last case, Oisa Tmura, so therefore it's relevant to Masechta Tmura, and it's mentioned over here because it's relevant as far as Me'ila, where in the ratio was Loinen and Loin Me'ilin, and in the Sefer Me'ilin, so therefore it's relevant in both.
If you learned one place, you wouldn't know the other place.
If you learned only one, the Pashtus, you might, well, not necessarily you wouldn't know, but the Tana in general tries to include the dinim that are all the dinim that are relevant in each place. So yeah, if that means repeating a Mishnah, then so be it. Okay.